Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This
is an Intel Studios production.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you? You all right?
It's always quite funny when we do this because, you know, we've been together for a couple of hours. And then we sit down and we do this and we go, hey.
Hey,
and then it's
how
like,
are you?
I save stuff up.
Yeah, I don't talk to you for a while.
I can't talk to him because I need to save it for the podcast.
First of all, do you like my hair?
Well, I forget the hair.
Yeah.
We need to discuss jumper and trousers combo because...
Well, we can put a picture up this on the entail.
I would say a burnt orange jumper, but with...
Coppery orange
corduroy trousers. It just doesn't...
Does it just work?
Like, it shouldn't work, but in the great words of my father, it just works.
It works, yeah. Well, great. We'll take a picture. If you're on the Entail app, you'll
really
see it.
Really nice.
We'll stick it on Instagram as
yeah,
well. Thanks
so
very
hair
much.
Looks really nice, but am I supposed to be noticing something?
Well, I just realised that I've had some videos to shoot this afternoon for work, and my hair was really fluffy. And we're in the flat
Sorry, wait,
now.
What was it?
My hair was really fluffy.
What was it?
My hair was really fluffy. What? What is going on?
Oh my God.
Listeners, she likes that.
You say fluffy.
Fluffy. Really? Do you? I don't know. I say fluffy.
You said it's fluffy.
Fluffy.
You say fluffy.
Fluffy. Do I?
Oh my God.
Like Wagamama's.
I love. But that's amazing. That's a northern... Fluffy.
Fluffy.
It's a northern thing.
Well, I guess so.
God, it's great.
But
sorry,
I realised
drinking.
I didn't hear.
Can I just say...
Did you hear that?
Yes, that is a proper... Listen to that.
He made a little cry.
Yeah. Please don't drink me.
Yeah. Guinness.
Michael's
I'm having
a Guinness.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's 5:30 on a Tuesday. And I thought...
what better time?
Guinness o'clock. Yeah. Yeah, I just thought I'd have a little drink of Guinness. I've really got back into the old Guinness. Only one, like one or two a week. I'm not a drinker, as you know.
And from a can.
It's called draft Guinness in a can. That you can get normal Guinness in a can.
Sorry.
Draft Guinness in a can.
Fizzing everything again.
This one's the draft one. So it's got a widget in it, but it gives you that effect. But I do like
Head.
It. Oh, steady.
Michael.
Yes.
Hair. We were discussing your hair.
Ran out of hair products, right? I haven't got anything greasy here.
What?
So I've got blow dry sprays here. I've got brushes.
Wait, what do you call it?
Blow dry sprays.
No, but what else do you call it?
Product.
You've got
jollop.
Jollop.
I haven't got any jollop here.
I love
it. So this is some Garnier skin moisturiser that I've put in my hair.
No.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it?
Ultralift.
Ultralift.
Is it
no,
the red
not
pot?
The red. No, the green bottle.
Oh, the body moisturiser.
Body moisturiser.
It's amazing, that
Probably
stuff.
Probably doing wonders for my hair,
it
right?
Not joking, it actually looks really nice.
Yeah, well, that's what's in my hair.
Classic.
I need something greasy, you know what I mean? Otherwise, it goes fluffy. I like a bit of grease in my hair.
Fluffy.
And I only washed it yesterday, so it's on the rampage.
Don't know what's
fluff.
Wrong with me today, but literally, you can do no wrong.
Really?
Like everything you say is cute,
mm-hmm.
It's funny, fluffy, amazing. I've got an amazing... I've really, really been sort of using our listeners' solutions, life solutions, life hacks, and I've got one that I think...
Uh-huh.
You are going to really like, but shall we quickly tell everybody who we are and what we're doing?
My name is Michael Douglas.
My name's Davina McCall.
And this is a podcast called Making the Cut. And the idea is we recommend things to you that we think make the cut. So it could be anything from some toothpaste, or it could be a drink, or it could be an app, a book, a TV show, a computer, a pencil.
A computer, that was random. Oh, now you're just looking at everything in the...
yeah, anything, yeah. A can,
a glass,
table,
some
a tripod.
Yeah.
But it can literally be anything. I mean, I guess the word making the cut was a play on me being a hairdresser.
Yes.
but it's nothing to do with hair. But although we have talked about hair products on here before, I mean, I've just mentioned one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Moisturiser.
I've just done a Judy Finnegan.
You have, for cleavage has just escaped. So yeah, that's what it is, and that's what we're here to do. And this is the final episode of this season, where we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back after Easter with a new sponsored show. What's it going to be sponsored?
It's just feels really weird, that, doesn't it?
I wonder who's going to sponsor us. We don't actually know yet. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, that's us, making the cut. You're very welcome, and we're very glad you're listening.
So we love our listeners, as our regular listeners know, and anybody new, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, everybody can get hold of us on the Making the Cut Insta page. If you've got any ideas or anything that you want us to try, or you just want to kind of say hi, whatever, we love to hear from you. And this woman called Hannah Benaworth sent us a message, and she said, get this app called Just Watch. Okay. Now, I am quickly going to show you her message, because she said two things for you. The Just Watch app, which I'm going to show you in a second, so don't read that bit. And The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Okay.
Which is a book, and it's a great read for those who lack a bit of self-belief or struggle with what others might think of them. Now, I haven't read this book.
Oh, me neither.
But a self-help book, I always think, is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you read it and you think, oh my God, that book changed my life. The Road Less Travelled.
Yeah, yeah.
Changed my life. So, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz, and Hannah has recommended that. But the thing that I wanted to show you was the Just Watch app. So I downloaded it.
Okay.
And I thought, well, how good can this be? So what are you thinking immediately when you look at it? Looks very like...
Well, Netflix or IMDb. Something like that. Oh, IMDb, yes.
You know,
yes.
It's like, well, is it going to be exactly the same as IMDb? So tell me what you want to watch, TV show.
Oh, a TV show. Top Gear.
Top Gear. So I'm going to type in Top Gear into the search thing, and it comes up with all the Top Gears that you could watch. But so we're going to put it on... the top result.
Yep.
So it's Top Gear from 2003.
30 seasons.
So you can track the show.
Yep.
You can tick the episodes that you've seen. That is really helpful.
Good. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's quite annoying when you've watched a series and you're not sure what you've seen. You can give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down.
Mm-hmm.
And you can click on various episodes and it will show you where you can find it, the best price you can buy it at, on all the different formats, you know, because sometimes Amazon's got it.
Netflix has got it.
Various places have got it. So Sky Go have got it that you can stream, and Amazon have also got it, and you can buy it.
Okay.
Which I just think is so interesting. Then it's got all the episodes. You just tick the ones that you've seen.
Okay.
And it's also got clips and trailers and featurettes. And it's also got a rating, so it'll show you the IMDb rating. So if you like IMDb, I would say it's the perfect marriage for IMDb.
Okay.
Because it does stuff that IMDb doesn't do. And you know, sometimes you think, oh, IMDb have got everything covered.
Yeah.
And then I watched this and I thought, oh God, if you're looking for a TV show and you think, oh.
Yes.
Do you remember if we're looking for something like an old movie, like Goodfellas the other night?
Oh, yes.
It's like, where do we find it?
Mm-hmm.
It's really useful to be able to look up
stuff
and see all the different platforms that you can get it on, but sometimes you can get it for free, so why pay for it?
Who recommended that? Did you say their name?
Hannah. Benaworth.
Thanks, Hannah,
so
very much
you.
Indeed.
You have
very
made
good.
Our lives better, and hopefully some of our listeners will better too.
Now, you mentioned something in there that just...
Goodfellas.
You've just watched it.
Well, you told me to watch it not that long ago.
Yeah.
Because you'd watched it with your boys.
Yes.
And I got slightly jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were going to try and watch it with... when we had all the teenagers in the house.
Mm.
That didn't work out. So just me and Chester watched it the other night.
Okay.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. Well, interesting. My boys haven't seen it.
Oh!
I've watched it on my own, but I haven't got them to watch it yet.
So intense. Mm. I mean, the violence in it.
Mm.
Even by today's standards. And we're used to... massive amounts of really full-on violence in a lot of films. When you think about it, Goodfellas at the time, it was horrific, right?
Yeah, yes, it was brutal, yeah.
I mean, where everybody was horrified, Joe Pesci in particular.
Yeah, yeah, he's
plays
a
that
real
character,
monster, isn't
he's
he?
He's such a monster.
Yeah.
And I read a great bit of trivia, which said that scene, you know, when he said, you think I'm funny?
Yeah.
And Ray Liotta says, oh, you're funny.
Yeah.
You're so funny. And he goes, you think I'm funny? And then suddenly the whole mood changes.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, Joe Pesci apparently had said that to a mobster when he was working in a bar.
Oh, okay.
And the mobster did exactly that to him.
Oh,
and nice. He was so frightened. And he told Martin Scorsese that. And Martin Scorsese said, do it to Ray Liotta in this, but I'm not going to put it in the script, so Ray's not going to know that it's coming.
Oh, wow, because he's so unnerved by it, isn't he?
He's so unnerved. And they all did really look like they didn't know what was going on. It was brilliant. Oof. And in this movie, actually, Martin Scorsese did that quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He got people to improvise bits.
Okay.
There was a bit with Paul Sorvino. Was it Mira Sorvino? Was his daughter?
Oh,
she was an actress. Yeah.
Is she not in American Beauty then? The young blonde girl?
No, that's Mira Sorvino.
No, okay.
I don't think it is.
Okay, I'm thinking of somebody else then.
I'm just going to look that up quickly.
It's definitely one of Scorsese's best movies, Goodfellas, I think, but it's bloody long, right? I mean,
well, you said it was 3 hours, but it's not. It was 2.5 hours.
Okay.
Which I know is only half an hour of 3 hours.
It's
but I know it is.
Yeah. It's a commitment.
It's a massive commitment, but to me,
it
didn't feel
like it
was
okay,
really dragging on. And it got a massive 8.7 on IMDb.
8.7?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely worthy of that, I think. And it's not like it's riddled with CGI or things that really date quite badly. I also think it's a really good understanding of what was going on in New York around that time. Because I think for your kids and my kids, it's hard for them to picture a world with the mafia running massive industry across huge cities like New York and
Washington. Well, it was almost impossible for Chester to understand that.
Yeah, like, so I think a lot of Scorsese's films do a great job of playing that out. But because it's a movie, you'd think, is this real? Is that real? But there are some fantastic documentaries about that time on Netflix about what went on, about how they ran the whole construction industry, how they ran all the fashion industry in New York. Like, it was all run by the mafia, and it was so difficult to get them to let go of it.
And before drugs came on the scene, it all kind of worked quite well.
They policed a lot of that stuff, really. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of benefits, I guess, to them, but the mass murder that went on because of them is unbelievable. But that film really, really brings it to life. What I also love is the fact that young men wore suits all the time.
Mm.
Like, even if you were going to go and kill someone, you wore a suit to go and do it. You know, like, there was swagger and style in everything, even the moment you murdered somebody. Whereas, you know, a murderer now has probably got, like,
I love it. Like, are you getting into the brain of a murderer?
So, he's got...
What's he got on?
A puffer jacket on. He's probably got, like, a gilet on as well. Black, balaclava.
Yeah, balaclava.
Leather gloves, all that stuff. Not a bloody...
Not a suit.
Single-breasted suit.
No.
You know, and some Gucci loafers. There's so much style and swagger about it, and I love the fact it's all centred around food as well.
Yes.
You know, even when they're in prison.
Italian-Sicilian thing,
like,
isn't it?
Chopping up the garlic and all of that stuff.
And did you know that Al Pacino turned down the role of Jimmy?
De Niro. I did read that. I mean, there's a few things that Pacino's turned down over the years that turned out to be a huge mistake, but it's really funny, I think, all
of that
stuff.
He didn't want to get typecast, he said. He did regret it. He massively regretted it.
I mean, after Scarface, he was done. He was already typecast. It was crazy, you know.
I interviewed Ray Liotta.
Mm.
Did you know his mum died while he was making this movie?
I didn't know that.
A lot of the sort of sadness and anger.
What I love about Scorsese's stuff is the narration of it all. He does it in this, he does it in Casino, does it The Wolf of Wall Street,
narrated
all the way through.
That's so true, I hadn't thought about that.
It's a real trick that he's got, and it really helps, because if you're watching the thing and a little bit unsure about what's going on, someone just tells you what's happening and why it's happened, and you go, oh. So you can settle into
it's
the movie.
It's a comfortable experience.
Yeah, you're not trying to solve the puzzle of the movie. It's being solved for
that.
Yeah. He's bloody brilliant, Scorsese, I think. What's interesting is if you watch this and then watch Casino and then watch The Irishman, which I don't think you've seen yet, because that is 3.5 hours long. Yeah, but I've watched that since and enjoyed it a lot more the second time round.
Mm.
But especially if you're watching them in that order, Scorsese's made them kind of to take you through the New York years, the Vegas years, and then obviously you've got the hitman who kills Jimmy Hoffa in The Irishman. They're great. I'm so glad you watched it, but both my boys haven't seen it, so I'm looking forward to putting them through it.
They're going to love it.
Yeah, and I love the trivia, all the trivia.
It's so good, isn't it?
So on the subject of violent movies, my son came home from film school on Friday and he said, could you watch a film with me tonight? And I said, yeah, sure. He said, it's quite violent. And I was like, yeah, I love a violent movie, you know. And he said, it's called Hardcore Henry. I was like, Are you sure?
It is quite funny.
Are you sure it's a violent movie, son? He said, yeah, yeah. And I said, when did it come out? And he said, oh, you know, it came out in, 2015 or something like that.
Yeah.
Hello, Henry. Do you remember how you got here? This next part might hurt. Squeeze. You and I were, and still are, husband and wife. I love you, Henry. Henry, they want your technology.
How do I then you? You.
So yeah, 2015 it came out, 6.7 on IMDb, but it's only about an hour and 30 minutes long, 1 hour 36 minutes long.
And I thought,
anything under 7, it's got to be under an hour and a half, really, or under 2 hours for me to bother watching it. So I said, yeah, sure, you know, what's going on with it? Now, my son's studying films at film school, so we're interested in all the different ways you can make a movie. So this is a film that it's shot clearly through the eyes of the star. So it's a completely POV shot, the whole thing. All you're seeing is the movie through the eyes of the person. I've only ever seen one other movie done like this.
And is that? Do you ever see that person?
You never see the person.
Oh, wow. Oh, weird.
The very final scene, there is a little trick they do where you get to see his face. He starts at the beginning of the movie. Tim Roth's in it very briefly.
Oh, is
so
he?
So you go, oh, Tim Roth, that's a comfort. You know, there's a big star in it. It's made by a Russian writer and a director, and you wake up, and obviously the first shot you see is what the person sees waking up, and he's kind of half robot, half man, and his wife, who's a surgeon, is piecing him together, and he's aware, and the wife tells him she loves him, and she's glad, but his legs start to rotate in all sorts of weird ways, and his arms does as well, and then the skin forms over. Then there's a big explosion, and then they need to escape. I'm not going to give too much away. This is in the first few minutes, really.
Okay.
And then you realise they're actually in a blimp above the sky, and they need to parachute out. But of course, you're only seeing what he sees, you know, so getting in the parachute capsule and all that stuff.
God.
So you're really on the edge of your seat the whole time. He jumps out the parachute and then he lands in Russia by the looks of things. And then he's constantly being chased by a series of people. Now, once I did a bit of research on the film, this leading person that you're seeing the movie through their eyes is played by 8 different stuntmen. So it's not the same person.
Okay.
So there's a series of stuntmen doing these things. So some of them are parkour experts. So you're being taken on this journey of parkour.
Oh, wow.
And you're climbing up the sides of buildings, up drain pipes, you know, like 20 stories high, you know, somebody's actually climbing these buildings.
Wow.
That's why I think it's shot in Russia, because I don't think you could get away with doing this in the UK at all. Legally, you'd be shut down as a movie. So they're taking, without a shadow of a doubt, you'd have to have all sort of harnesses and stuff like that.
Tom Cruise does.
Yeah, but you can imagine the budget on a Tom Cruise film.
Yes, that's true.
This was maybe $2 million.
Oh, okay, God.
So
okay.
I would have thought Mission Impossible's $120 million or something. Yeah. So there's very little CGI going on in there, and all the stunts seem extremely real. And by God, there was sweat pouring out the palms of my hands as I was watching some of it, you know, when they're on the edge of buildings having a fight. And of course, the camera's going over the edge. They keep, oh, get back. It was absolutely fantastic. So there's problems with it, because obviously if you're only seeing from one perspective, some of the shots look clunky and some of them you think, oh, it looks a bit cheap, that didn't really work. There isn't any actors in
but
it that I was
familiar with. But
if you
like an action movie?
If you like computer games, action movies, and the mixture of those two things together, it's essentially a bit like watching a computer game, a first-person shooter.
Oh, well, Chester would love it.
Chester will go nuts.
Oh, okay.
Now, it is an 18, by the way.
Oh, okay.
And it is very, very violent.
Okay, yeah. I might wait then.
But
Goodfellas,
which is also an 18, yeah. What I would say is watch the opening title sequence. The opening title sequence is a series of slow-motion violent acts. So there's a bit where a knife goes into somebody's neck.
Oh, no.
In slow motion, most amazing high-definition way.
Oh, no, I don't think I...
It is just breathtaking how they've done it. So I won't go on about it much more, but go and have a little look at the trailer maybe. I think it's on Amazon Prime at $2.49. It might be on Netflix as well.
Wait, would you like me to look it up?
Yeah, have a look.
On the Just Watch app.
That is a great idea.
Hang on. What's it called?
Hardcore Henry.
Henry. It's a very funny name.
It's a very funny name. I mean, Sonny, when he mentioned it, I thought, God, this is going to be awful.
Okay, Hardcore. Oh, it's all over the place. So you can rent it for $2.49 from Amazon, YouTube or Rakuten TV.
I don't know.
And you can buy in the same places for $5.99 on Amazon, YouTube and Rakuten.
I'd say if you've got teenage boys or people who are late teens, but let's say mid-teens. It is an 18, remember. It is quite violent, but it is a really good hour and a half. There's quite a lot of humour in it. There's one particular actor who was in District 9. Remember the South African guy?
Yes.
He's a really fascinating, brilliant actor, but you never see him in anything. He plays about 12 different characters in this
thing. Really?
Yeah. One minute he's a homeless guy, next minute he's a coke dealer, next minute he's... And then it turns out that there's a little twist towards the end. But anyway, Hardcore Henry, he really kind of set me on fire. I was like, bloody hell, it was great. And not only that, a technical achievement that is superb.
Wow.
Superb. So there you go.
I've got two things I want to tell you. Firstly, I want to apologise to my mum, Gabby, because she told me about Happy Bottles last week. And I didn't.
You didn't credit her with that.
I didn't credit her with that. I just sort of, I made it sound as if it was my own.
Yeah.
And I just want to apologise to her.
Did she pull you up on that?
No, she didn't.
Oh, she
but I thought about it. I thought how bad I'd been, what a bad daughter
did
I'd been.
You?
Because
yeah.
Because she'd obviously listened to it. Because she told me that she put in some Lensman insoles.
Really?
Yes. And her back's been hurting, and she's put some in, and she's
waiting
thinks
for the
they're
results.
Great. Yeah, she's just waiting to see.
I'm so pleased, because they really do make a difference.
Yeah, well, when she said that, I was like, she listened. Oh, she listened.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, no, I didn't.
You didn't.
Name check her. She could just go, Gabby is amazing. She told me about the Happy Bottles last week.
In future, Gabby, I will keep an eye on her and make sure that she isn't, what would you call it? Plagiarising.
Yeah, plagiarising,
your recommendations,
basically.
Yeah. What you got for me?
Oh, my God.
Yeah?
So, what is my entire Facebook feed?
Pornography.
Apart from that?
Dogs and cats, babies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a TV programme that I have been made aware of via short little Facebook films that Channel 4 made, and it's called The Dog House. And
I know The Dog House.
You know that, like, that, you know, you spend a lot of time.
I spend a lot of time.
I just want to say to our listeners that he spends no time whatsoever.
Okay, it was a joke. Yeah.
So, The Dog House is one of those shows, it's a bit like Long Lost Family.
Mm-hmm.
They can show me 1 minute of content from their TV programme and I am in floods of tears. And I want to talk to you about you and your dog.
Yeah.
Because you were bamboozled into getting a dog.
Yes, my kids put an enormous amount of pressure on me to get a dog.
How much do you love that dog?
Yeah, like 100 out of 100.
Like out of 100. Yeah. Like 100 out of 50.
Yeah.
Like you love that dog.
Yeah, of course.
So it is amazing the joy and the life that a dog can bring you. But as we've seen with the number of puppies and stuff that have been sold in lockdown, never more now have dogs meant so much. But this TV programme is amazing because they have teamed up with the Wood Green charity and it is a rehoming centre. I think they might have various Wood Green centres all over the country.
Okay.
But it's an animal charity. It's open 365 days a year. It's a bit like Battersea in that it's just the loveliest place. But what I thought was amazing, there was one girl in particular, and it's a shame because I've looked on their website and everything, and they don't have, like, the pictures of the girls and their names next to it. And I looked at an episode and I couldn't find her on it, so... But there is one girl in particular who is so emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
And when she looks... So say, for example, there was a girl on there. She'd come with her mother. She wanted to get a dog because her and her boyfriend had bought a house together.
Mm-hmm.
And almost immediately after buying a house together, he just sat her down and he said, I don't want to be with you anymore. And he left.
Okay.
And there she was in this house that really encapsulated all of her dreams in this one place, and he wasn't there. And her mum was a really lovely, warm, lovely lady who was like, you know, come on, we're going to go and get you a dog. And this woman, this girl, was broken. She was bereft. She was grieving. And she said, I'd really like to get a dog, but she was quite quiet. And she cried a couple of times talking about how sad she was.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, God. Oh, fuck.
Come on.
So I'm going to pull it together.
Yeah, pull it together.
So what they have is they have this area. So basically they go and interview the people and they say, what do you want as a, you know, what kind of dog do you want? And then they say, right. Then they go off and they go into the office and they all talk through the dogs that they've got.
Yeah.
And all of them know different dogs. Lots of them have fostered the dogs at home or they know all the kind of little idiosyncrasies and, and quirks. And rescuing a dog, and they talk about this a lot, it is a real matchmaking thing. You have to have that connection. And you could very easily walk into a rehoming centre and go, I want a Chihuahua. And you could leave with a Rottweiler because
The connection.
The Rottweiler talked to you.
Yes.
And...
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, the mum and the daughter, what they do is they discuss and then they all get really excited because they go, oh my God, I think this dog is the perfect dog. And what they do is they take the dog on the lead. They go up to this kind of really nice open air pen, but nobody can see in.
Yeah.
So you can't, you don't know that you're being watched at all. But obviously for the TV program, they've got cameras in it. So you feel really private and it is one-on-one time with your dog or one-on-two times. So she was in there with her mother. But her mother... The dog comes in, runs straight over to them both, and the mum goes, oh, hi. And the girl's going, I don't think he likes me, because the dog is all over the confident mum, right? Because the confident mum is happy and she's exuding, like, I'm in a good place. And the other girl's nervous. She thinks the dog's not going to like her.
Okay, yes.
Because her confidence's been knocked so badly.
Yeah.
And then the girls come in and they say... That is so brilliant. They say, look, we think that this dog is going to the really confident, happy person. I hope you don't mind me saying that.
Yeah.
And we'd like her to have a bit of time with the dog on its own, if that's all right with you, to the mum. And the mum went, oh, my gosh, yes, of course. Yeah. So they both left. I mean, honestly, I've watched this clip four times. I can't stop watching it because it makes me cry every time. They both left.
Yeah.
And this girl, the dog... As they both left, the dog runs away from the girl and goes to the door and wants to go with them, which breaks her heart again, right? The dog wants to leave her. And then she keeps going, come over here, come over here. And it kind of comes over and then it goes back to the door and you think, oh, my God.
What kind of
a
dog is it?
It's just a little. It's just a little. I think it's a cross.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a Lhasa Apso something cross. Tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
No, actually, maybe it's a Staffy. It's a Staffy.
Okay.
It's a black Staffy. It's really pretty.
Yeah.
And goes up to the door and then comes back. And then she goes closer to the door and it's playing around and she goes, come and have a chat with me. He goes, she says something like, you're nervous around me because I'm nervous around you. Then this dog just does the most amazing thing. It's like it just knows and it walks over to her. And as it walks over to her, she's then, it cuts to a shot of her talking about this moment. And as she's talking about the moment, she starts crying because it meant so much to her that this dog knew what she needed. And she was sitting cross-legged and the dog put both paws on her cross legs and just rested its head here on her shoulder.
Oh,
and she just gives it a cuddle. And it was like, she said, it's just like the dog knew what I needed.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, please tell me. Anyway, obviously she rehomes it. And it's, you know, just love going forward. But then obviously you can get lost in a,
in a dog
house wormhole.
A dog hole.
Which I just got lost in, you know, widowers, widows.
Yeah.
And you look at these faces of people walking in there and they're broken. Like they really look really broken and then they see a dog and their whole face just completely melts. Sorry.
All right.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
The magic. And, you know, I was going to talk about Nikki Campbell's book.
Yeah.
I must go and get it from the other room, but I was going to talk about that because he talks about, you know, what do we do to deserve animals? Like there's an unconditional love that an animal gives you that you just don't... You can't ever get anywhere else.
Yeah. It's mainly because it wants a treat, you know. That's all it is, really.
But it's a really... So, firstly, go Get Lost on Channel 4's... they are... All the episodes are on all four.
And it's called Go Get Lost?
No, it's called... Oh. It's called The Dog House.
Okay. What's Go Get Lost?
What did I say that?
You just said... Go Get Lost on Channel 4.
Yeah, go in the episode.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry.
No.
You go and get lost in the episodes. Yes, okay, yes. Sorry.
It's basically also a charity, so that's okay. Worth remembering. I did try and set up a monthly direct debit today, and they didn't... it was a bit difficult to do that. It suddenly got clogged.
Okay.
But you can give a monthly direct debit or a weekly, you know, or a one-off gift if you fancy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When you see the work that they do, it really is incredible. Aww. All Four has got all the apps. I think they've got a new series coming out on Channel 4. But Wood Green Animal Charity, and definitely go and look up The Dog House. It's epic.
Good.
And I'll stop crying now.
Okay. Are you all right now?
I'm okay. Yeah.
Do you want to get Nikki Campbell's book?
I'll go and get Nikki Campbell's
book. Okay, good. Here she comes with Nikki Campbell's book, One of the
Very
Family.
Quickly.
Yes.
I mean, I'll quickly talk about this.
Yeah, go for it.
Because Nikki Campbell, I was terrified of Nikki Campbell when I first met him. Because
Nikki
I thought,
Campbell.
He's so clever. That's a bit racist. Oh, no, you're allowed to do that.
I'm Scottish. Yeah.
Nikki Campbell is a really, really, really very lovely, warm, genuine, incredibly clever, but also very vulnerable guy.
Yes.
He's a dichotomy, you know, and he feels things incredibly deeply.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, he is a massive animal lover.
Yeah.
And it's called Nikki Campbell, One of the Family, Why a Dog Called Maxwell Changed My Life. And talk about crying. I mean, this book will have you in absolute floods of tears. It's a little bit of stories about feelings that long-lost family have brought up for him, his story of adoption, and his dog, and how it says here about Maxwell changing his life, how his dog really did make him a better person. So it's lovely.
Okay, great. I mean, you know, I have met Nikki through you a few times.
He's a super nice man.
Guy.
Yeah.
Couple of quickies. First of all, I bought Bitcoin this week.
Yeah, God, like, I mean, are you up or down now?
I'm down.
Like a lot?
Yeah, quite a bit. Yeah. I'm nervously down, shall we say.
Are you? And what's the advice being given to you?
How's it work? Sit tight.
Okay. So basically,
I had a friend of mine, my fitness trainer guy, who I haven't seen him for ages, but we occasionally meet in the park just for a quick coffee and a mooch. But he'd been trading Bitcoin, and he says, look, I've made a fortune recently buying and selling Bitcoin.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Thinking, well, this sounds like a crazy thing to do. And then a mate of his turned up and he said, oh my God, yeah, like we've made a fortune. And when I say a fortune, I'm talking tens and tens of thousands of pounds. Okay? That's how much they've made. You could say hundreds of thousands of pounds.
Really?
That's what they've made from trading Bitcoin for the last 6 months.
Really?
Yeah.
6 months?
Yes.
Hundreds of thousands of pounds?
Yes. So,
oh God.
Now when you look at Bitcoin history, you do realise that that's quite possible. If you'd have bought Bitcoin in January it now...
Don't, it's so annoying.
So it was £4,000 in January. Mm. It's £40,000 now. That's how much it's gone up. Which is a massive amount, right?
Yes.
But the biggest stat, which is amazing, that if you invested if you bought £1,000 worth of Bitcoin in 2010,
yes,
right, £1,000 in 2010,
that's 10
years ago, yeah, 11 years, yeah. Guess how much that £1,000 would be worth?
I don't know.
Have a random guess then. If you invested £1,000,
£50 million,
like £400 million.
Oh God,
that's amazing.
Oh God.
This guy.
What were we doing then?
Nobody believed it was going to take off, right?
Like,
nobody believed it was going to take off, and I didn't.
Why did you suddenly do it?
Because he said, "Look, it's a no-brainer. If you just got a couple of grand, throw it in Bitcoin, see what happens." So I thought, "Okay, great." So I did. I put it in there, and I made £500 on the first day. Now I've lost quite a lot.
How much have you lost?
I've lost, let's say, 20% of my initial stake.
Okay.
Which is enough for me to kind of think, whoa.
Slightly clench your buttocks.
Yes. So I contacted him today and said, what the hell is going on with this Bitcoin thing? And he just said, sit tight, it's going to go nuts in the next couple of weeks.
It is like the Wild West though, right?
Oh, completely like the Wild West. It's completely turbulent. So 1 minute it's up, next minute it's down. So there's two apps.
Yeah.
I'm not recommending these really, I'm just letting people know, because as we go on into season 4 of this, I'll let you know how my Bitcoin exploration is going. Because it'd be quite an interesting thing to report back on.
People might be interested.
They might be interested,
actually,
yes.
You recommending an app.
Yeah, okay. So I've started on Coinbase, but I was recommended to try to change over to Binance. So Binance is the UK Bitcoin trading thing.
It's an app.
You download it. It's completely free. And then what you do is you load money into Binance, like £1,000.
And you can do
that
pounds.
With a credit card, right, or a bank transfer or whatever. And with that £1,000, you can buy various different Bitcoins. Now, there is the Bitcoin, BTC, which is the Bitcoin everybody talks about. But there's a new Bitcoin now called Ethereum, which is also very big. You know, it's one coin's worth about £1,500.
Yeah.
A Bitcoin is worth £40,000 at the moment.
What?
Yeah. So if you invest £1,000, you obviously don't get a Bitcoin. You get a bit of a Bitcoin.
Mm. A bit.
Yeah, exactly. A bit Bitcoin. And then there's lots of other ones that are constantly fluctuating around. This is how people make money, is they buy these little coins. So like I've bought one called ADA Cardano. I don't know what that means or anything about it, but a mate of mine says, buy a bit of Cardano. I think it's going to go really well. So I put £1,000 into Cardano. It's currently down to about £300 at the moment. I've lost £700 at the moment. But who knows? That might go... He thinks it will. In the next few weeks, he reckons that will skyrocket, right?
Okay.
So I don't know. I'll keep you posted on that. So that's what you do. And then you can trade the Bitcoins like immediately. So if you see Bitcoins taking off and all your money's in Ethereum,
you can swap it over.
With a quick press of a button, you can sell your Ethereum and buy your Bitcoin and then sell it back. You know, whatever you want to do, it happens literally instantly. And that's what people are doing. That's how they're making the money. What I would say is, like, Elon Musk decided you can now buy a Tesla with Bitcoin. You can now buy a Subway sandwich with Bitcoin. You can start to spend it. So the idea...
It is a currency.
It's becoming a mainstream currency, which is why they think it'll go up in value exponentially. So they reckon Bitcoin at the moment is worth £40,000 a coin. They reckon in the next 3 or 4 years it'll go to £1 million a coin and then possibly top out of £5 million a coin.
Wow.
So you can do the maths on that. If you bought £1,000 of the Bitcoin now and left it for a few years and it did value at £3 or $4 million a coin, you have made an amazing amount of money. So I don't know. I mean, I'm fascinated by it. And I just thought, if the world's going to go cryptocurrency, all of a sudden,
yes,
I want to be in.
Yes.
So that's what I've done.
Yes.
So I'm going to let you know how I get on. But at the moment, I'm down a considerable amount of money and I'm slightly...
nervous.
Pooping myself.
You're slightly clenching your buttocks.
Yes.
So but are you enjoying it?
I am very much enjoying
it.
I feel like I'm part
thing.
Of a brave new world.
Yes.
You know, like there's all sorts of things. And there's new things I'm going to talk about perhaps on next series. These NFTs that you...
Yes.
We're talking about a very, very interesting.
Understand.
Yeah, well, people are selling NFTs, which is non-fungible tokens, they're called, which are unique
still
bits of
don't
code.
Get it.
But people are often selling the NFTs and you're getting paid in Bitcoin. People aren't buying them with money. They're buying them with Ethereum or Bitcoin. Anyway,
listen,
it's fascinating.
I'm just going to be with you.
Yes.
And you do all of that.
I'll let you know what's going on. The other thing is that my kids bought their mum a Mother's Day candle from the Diddley Squat Farm.
What's that?
Diddley Squat Farm is Jeremy Clarkson's farm shop on his farm.
Is that what
farm.
It's called?
Yeah. And the candle they bought is called This Smells of My Bollocks.
Oh, They bought that for Mother's Day.
Yes, I know, hilarious, right? But what I did want to do is say, just give a shout out to the Diddley Squat Farm. It's very funny. It's like a comedy farm shop, but it's full of very good things. Expensive things at that.
Yeah.
But like, you can buy milk there, but it's called like cow juice. And stuff like that. But it's called the Diddley Squat Farm. I think it's a .com. And it is Jeremy Clarkson's farm shop. So if you go on his Instagram page, you take
a little tour of it. But do Jeremy Clarkson's bollocks smell nice?
I have literally no idea. I think that it says, a unique and leathery scent of my car seat blended with hints of oak moss and earthy spices.
Sounds like it could be quite nice.
It could be great, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about a book that a friend of mine gave to me.
Oh, yeah.
My good friend, Andy, as you know.
Oh, he's my best mate, always gets a mention.
And he loves a listen to this podcast, but he sent me a book. He knows I'm interested in all
things. He gets a mention when he gives something to you, but my mum just
Yeah, no, you are hardcore,
I've
right?
I've changed.
Who recommended this? I don't care. It's mine now. So this was my good friend, Andy. Now, my good friend, Andy, as you know, is Jewish.
Yes.
And I love talking to him about Jewish things. One, because
Jewish culture and...
Yes.
Because, how it works and everything.
Because when I grew up, for me, Jewish or Jews were just a religion. They were just religious people. They
weren't, you didn't really know anything about it.
I didn't know anything about them. I didn't think they were an ethnic group, for instance. I just thought it was just a religion that people practiced. I think it was based on the Old Testament, and we talked about it in RE, and that was it. There was no Jewish people at my school at all. I moved to London when I was 21, and I remember driving through Stamford Hill and seeing all these Orthodox Jews and thinking, whoa, what is going on here? You know, I was mesmerised by it. And then living in London for years and years and years, you meet lots of people and say, well, I'm Jewish, you know.
Yes.
And I used to think, oh, like, I wouldn't say I'm Catholic or I'm C of E or whatever. I would describe myself as British, like.
Mm.
And you say, well, where were you born? They say, well, I'm born in British, but I'm a Jew. And I used to think, I've got to get my head around this. Like, it's such an interesting concept. Like, is it a religion or is it an ethnic group, you know? So anyway, I always speak to Andy about this. I'm fascinated by Second World War.
So what does Andy say? Is it a religion or is it an ethnic group?
They are an ethnic group, yes.
As well?
Yes, as well. But I think that's where it becomes a slightly...
Is the ethnic group not Israeli?
Well, Israel's only existed really since the Second World War. It wasn't called that then. I think it was part of the Ottoman Empire before the First World War. So
was the big argument about where the Jewish, whereas
yes,
the Jewish people's
been,
home, like
they've been
chucked out of every place they've ever lived.
So they ended up all over Europe, right?
Yeah.
And then obviously what Hitler did to them left them in a position where they didn't really exist anywhere. So I think the West, I could be wrong about this, so you're more welcome to educate me on it. The West decided they would give them Israel.
Mm.
And of course, that was a big problem because there was a bunch of people that already lived in Israel, you know.
Mm.
So, you know, that's my knowledge of Jewish history, by the way, which is tiny. But anyway, my good friend Andy sent me this book by David Baddiel, who I'm a big fan of.
Me too.
I didn't really like David Baddiel as a stand-up comedian. I didn't think he was very good. I liked Baddiel and Skinner Unplanned, but it was mainly because I really liked Frank Skinner. But I think in the last 5 or 10 years, David Baddiel's done 3 or 4 things, a couple of stand-up shows, a few one-man shows,
really
written
good.
A few films, absolutely not.
I love him on Twitter.
Yeah, he's
his Twitter
bloody
account
brilliant.
Is really, really good.
Really clever bloke. And he had a one-man show a few years ago that I went to see that really was superb. But
he's very clever.
Yes. I had this funny thing about, he said if, you know, his mum was so proud that he went to Cambridge that he said, if I ever fell in a canal and I was drowning, my mum would say, can somebody help my son who went to Cambridge? He's fallen in the canal. Yeah. Because it was such a big deal, you know, for him to make it there. Anyway, he's written a book, a fantastic book that, like I say, my friend gave me, called Jews Don't Count.
Yes.
And it's this idea that in this amazing kind of maelstrom of activity on social media, of this huge leftist agenda against to call out racism and bigotry here, there and everywhere, which I'm totally in favour of, by the way, I agree with entirely, that Jews have been completely missed out from this whole situation. And here he is presenting a bunch of evidence of why that is. Now,
but is it done in quite a comic way?
It's really funny. Like,
okay.
I've laughed non-stop all the way through it, mainly at the blatant disregard for Jewish culture in all sorts of things that are being said. So I've got a couple of bits that I quite like to read out that are really quite funny. Now, I know I'm quite a clunky reader, but
You're a good reader. What are you talking about?
So, you know, there's this whole thing
Wait. You've got to take that back.
Well, sometimes I am. When I read things out on this podcast, sometimes I'm all over the place.
Yeah, but so am I. Sometimes it just depends on...
I'm going to put the lights on.
I think you're a great reader.
Oh, well, good. Thank you.
Because I sometimes think that these messages that we give ourselves aren't healthy because they kind of bed in a self-belief that isn't correct.
Yes.
So you're a great reader.
Oh, well, thanks very much. So there was all this anti-Semitic idea, not ideas, but floating around about the Labour Party and where it stood on the Jewish people. And Andy would say, yeah, you know, there is quite a bit of anti-Semitism coming out of the Labour Party. And I just think, well, where is it?
Where is it?
I can't see it, you know. Yeah. And he said, well, if you're not Jewish, it's quite hard to see. But there was this little bit in here. So Dawn Butler, who was the Shadow Secretary of State in 2019, does this speech at a Labour Party conference. And she reads this thing out at the end. Now, you do have to get the context of the book, which is he's pointing out lots of different ways in which Jews are just excluded. So the anti-Semitism's coming from the idea
exclusion. You're excluded.
So nobody's necessarily saying something specific.
Mean.
It's just that they're being...
But that's like being
invisible.
Bullied at school.
Yeah,
so you can be bullied at school by just being completely excluded and ignored. It's like you're invisible.
Mm. So at the end of the Labour Party conference, Dawn Butler says, if you are in social housing, if you are LGBT+, if you are straight, if you are a traveller, if you're struggling to pay rent, if you wear a hijab, turban, a cross, if you are black, white, Asian, if you are disabled... If you don't have a trust fund, if you don't go to Oxford, if you are working class, if you're under 18, if you're aspirational, if you work, if you're a carer, if you feel you won't live beyond 25, if you've ever ticked the other box, if you have a future and you are worthy of equality, dignity and respect, and a Labour government will value you just for your for being your true, authentic self.
Oh my God, that is quite funny.
And then he writes... The list is slightly odd that it includes a number of categories that would already be considered mainstream, including white and straight. But maybe Butler was not very keen to alienate anyone in this particular speech, not to leave any group out. But she did. So the book's full of things like that, really, where it's funny, but also like, oh my God.
When you read that literally covers...
Everybody.
Everybody.
But Jews. Or Jewish people. They're not in there. But even like white and straight's in there. So it's not even... And you think, well, it's in there. So that's what's interesting about it. Is a lot of people say, well, Jews are white. It comes up quite a lot. So, you know, you don't get to... And Jews aren't oppressed, you know. And of course, there's this idea that they've been more oppressed than any ethnic group in the history of the world. But there was one other thing that really made me laugh as well. I don't know if I've put this bit out.
I mean, actually, can I just say something while you're looking for
it? Yes.
What's quite interesting about this book is that it is always good to read about everybody. And what's interesting is that David Baddiel, you're a non-Jew.
Yes.
And you are reading this book because you're learning something. And you're not necessarily having to agree with everything that he's saying. But you are learning a bit about history.
Yes.
In this book, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
You're educating yourself and you're laughing.
Yes. Well, that's why I would recommend it. It's one, because I'm learning so much in it. And it's done in a completely inclusive, very funny way.
Mm.
And there's loads of stuff that is being exposed to me. And I always think that any success that I'm likely to have from now on is based on everything that I don't know. Because everything I do know has got me here. And it's everything I don't know that'll get me a little bit further, whatever the measure of success would be. So I need to keep learning, because that's where all the action is, right?
Oh, my God, you've just blown my mind.
Oh, really?
No, you've completely blown my mind.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
That's so true.
Mm. Like, it's in everything I don't know. So I think, well, teach me stuff, you know, and that's what I love about this book. But let me just, I'll just cover this last piece as well, because this is very funny. But he says, perhaps we can cut to the chase on this. Let me ask you, dear reader, a straight question. Do you think of Jews as BAME? You know the term BAME, which I think stands for Black, Asian and Minority Ethnic.
Mm-hmm.
And he says here, I mean, I do. That's partly the point of this book. It's...
Polemic.
I always want to say polemic.
Yeah, it's polemic.
It's polemic about why Jews should be understood. And somewhere in the ME section of BAME, I guess that's where he thinks that it sits, but I think most people would not agree. They might decide to not actively exclude Jews, Once someone like me points this out to them, that Jews are actually an ethnic minority who get discriminated against and suffer racism. But that acceptance would be accompanied by, I would suggest, by a kind of, oh, yeah, I suppose so. I never really thought about it like that. And then a shrug and that's it, you know. And I just thought it's really interesting because a lot of people don't see them as an ethnic group at all. I think they just see them as perhaps white and religious. But he points out in this book also, that's quite funny, that he's only ever been beaten up twice in his life, one for being a Jew and the other for being a Pakistani. And he said, so I can't pull the white card because I'm not, you know, I'm not seen as white. Anyway, it is a superb read. It's really short.
I mean, a bit like Noughts and Crosses.
Yes.
That book that really is very thought-provoking. It's a thought-provoking book. It will make you think. It will make you look at life slightly differently. It might make you look at the Jewish faith and culture a bit differently.
Yes. Now, the dichotomy that exists in the book, of course, is that he's having a go at the left because they're excluding him.
Mm-mm.
Whereas what the left are generally doing is attacking the right for being perhaps racist or homophobic or against disabilities or whatever, because they're just in favour of the market. So he's not attacking the usual people. That's what's interesting. He's saying to all these people who are being very righteous about the disabled and about gays and
but historically, blacks, David Baddiel has always been left-leaning.
Yeah, and this is his problem, is that he's part of the
himself.
Left. And it's like what's happened is that I'm starting to turn on my own people. And that's what's brilliant about the book. It's a really interesting take on that idea.
God.
It's brilliant. So
can I have it after you?
Andy Abrahams, a massive thank you.
Again?
Yeah.
You know, he just keeps...
He
just keeps on coming with those amazing gifts.
It's very, very good. I was very happy.
How long have we been talking? I feel like a long time.
A long time, but I do want... There's a couple of other things. We can do a couple more minutes, right? Because it's the last one of the series.
Oh, look at the way you're looking at me.
You're going to let me?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks.
I did take a long time on the doghouse. It's just I was crying so much I couldn't quite get it out.
Your son, Chester, exposed me to a game on the iPad.
Yes.
Which is something for all the family people. And it's called...
It's really good.
It's great. It's called GeoGuessr. Now, if anyone's played geocaching, you'll know that geocaches are these little, treasure troves that are planted...
They get hidden.
...all over the world. And if you go into geocache, you can then go on a little treasure hunt and find these little things that people have left. Well, this one's called GeoGuessr. And all you do is open the app and you press start and it drops a pin somewhere in Google Maps. And it can be anywhere in the world. And you can set yourself a timer and you basically got to work out where you are.
And it gives you a visual on the map. So it's not like it doesn't drop you on a road map. It drops you on an actual visual image.
So like a satellite
photo. A satellite photo.
Or a street view. Yeah, that's right. So, but you could be anywhere on a country lane.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere. You don't know what country you're in or where you are in any country or anything.
And it's great for Chester because he's really got... Very good with his detective work.
And you learn a lot about geography, right?
Yes.
Because you very quickly think, right, so you can zoom along the street and find a road sign, and you've got to determine whether that road sign might just say 30, and you think, well, it's a 30-mile-an-hour road sign, but what country it is in, because it's not the same font that we would use here. And you think, well, isn't American sign, do they use kilometres an hour or miles an hour?
Mm.
Then you find another sign, or you find a hotel, and it's got a certain language or a phone code or something like that. Anyway, it's really, really good. And you can just do a global one. There's a Europe one. There's a UK one. The UK one's quite good.
Mm.
I've been really successful on the UK one.
I bet you have, because you've travelled around a lot.
I've travelled around a lot, yeah. So, like Scotland, you can instantly pinpoint Scottish brickwork on a house. Like, the types of stone that they use up there is not the same as they use down here. So, but it's really good. It's called GeoGuessr. It's completely free. You play it and get points, and when you unlock, you get a certain amount of points, you unlock certain different countries that you can go and look at.
Mm-hmm.
You were very good. You got New Zealand one night, and I just thought we were in England somewhere, but it's amazing how
New Zealand
similar.
And England.
Yeah.
And I've been to New Zealand three times, so I kind of know it a bit.
I was really impressed with that. So GeoGuessr, it's really good fun. And then if you've both got two iPads, you can set a timer and say, right, we've got 5 minutes to find out where we are. I mean, Chester played this a lot last time I was with him, and I absolutely loved it.
And also, I just wanted to say, because I didn't clarify earlier, the Just Watch app is free as well.
Okay, great.
Lots of fun to have for free. That's what we like.
Yes. Any shout-outs?
I have got a few shout-outs, yes. I just wanted to tell you quickly about the most amazing podcast. This was from Wendy... Her account is WendyP2. And she told me about a podcast called Cold Case Crime Cuts.
Oh, okay, yes.
Have you heard of it?
I have, yeah.
It's a comedy.
Yeah.
They're half an hour long, and basically they are dissecting the song Copacabana.
Okay.
But in the mindset and the style of Serial.
Oh, yeah,
This American Life.
Great.
So I'm just going to play you a tiny bit of the beginning.
Stable is presented by me, from the same stable the horses vanished from, as we take the blankets and sneakers off and uncover the whole story. Podcast from the same stable is brought to you by our friends in Lala Plaza Studios, New York City, a product of National American Radio. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mason Lane. Havana, Cuba.
Yeah, great.
The Northern Quarter. On the corner opposite a mural of a man smoking a Cuban cigar is an actual man smoking an actual Cuban cigar. That's hardly surprising. Cuba is the home of Cuban cigars. They're even named after the place.
It's really
very good.
It just goes on and on. Me and Wendy just started laughing. I sent her a message back going, oh, my God, this is fucking hilarious. Thank you so much. Brought to you from the same stable. And then she just went, isn't it brilliant? And then we just, like, laughed and laughed. So, Wendy, you are epic. That was a brilliant suggestion. Thank you.
Verity. That's a great name, isn't it? Verity Hardcastle.
Oatcakes. Oh, more oatcakes.
Yeah.
Because we recommended an oatcake company, which was the mix.
Yeah, the
yeah
mix.
They're going to send us some of that mix last week. So we love oatcakes. And they're healthy.
The tastiest healthy snack ever.
Nairns.
Nairns on the go. Fruit and seed oatcakes.
I'm going to get those.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to show you was this. This is from Claire Blackburn.
Oh.
She is your friend.
She is. I went to school with Claire Blackburn. Yeah.
And she wants to know if you ever opened up a hair salon.
In Watmadale?
So no. I said no.
No, I didn't.
But look what her mum said. Her mum said her hair was done by a really short and spiky, by a young lad.
Yeah.
So I love that you basically turned into, like, just a generic young lad.
Yeah.
No. That could have been Michael.
When I left Every Generational, I had a long, dreadlocked, permed hair. So
wow.
I wasn't short and spiky back then.
No, I think she had a short and spiky by a young lad.
Oh, well, it's a possibility, but I worked in Preston.
But she was saying that you opened your own shop in Walton Le Dale.
No, I didn't.
No.
Walton Le Dale.
Walton Le Dale.
You went a bit French there, Walton Le Dale.
Walton Le Dale.
My God, it sounds loads better than it actually is, that's for sure. Verity also goes on to say, both dog lovers catch up BBC One's Pooch Perfect on the iPlayer. The final is amazing. Also, I'm the judge on the show. Verity's a judge on Pooch Perfect. Huh?
What?
With your pardon, so many recommendations I've listened from Day Dot, from buying hubby bamboo underpants to an air fryer, many things in between. Oh, thanks, Verity. We'll check out Pooch Perfect, because as you can see, my other half here loves dogs.
I do.
And anything to do with
dogs.
I do. And any GIFs with dogs.
Anything.
Any YouTube videos with
anything.
Dogs. Anything with dogs, basically.
Donna Manning.
Yeah.
Has recommended a film that's on Netflix called Penguin Bloom.
Mm.
And she says, have the tissues ready, and I love a cry.
Okay.
So
great.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I love a cry.
Mm.
Sharon Blythe.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to your fab podcast from day one, bought a few of your recommendations, a Xylist Cutter, Molecule One. I can recommend Serial on facelift. What the hell's happened to me? It's that kind of Guinness. I can recommend a fantastic serial on Netflix called Spotless Edge. Oh, no, it's called Spotless. Edge of the Seat Viewing. I told you I can't read.
It's because you're pissed. It's nothing to do with the fact you can't read. You've just had a Guinness. It's nothing to do.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you
okay.
can read really well.
Not wanting, edge of the seat viewing, not wanting the next thing that's going to happen. A cleaning company, you're giving too much away. One for Michael to watch after Breaking Bad. If he loves it, he'll love this too. I'm an On Your
good.
Goals member too, Davina.
Yes.
Love the
well done.
Workouts. Yeah, great stuff. Thanks, Sharon. Okay, people, we're going to have a break. It's going to be Easter. I'm going to roll an egg. Do you know my favourite Easter egg? If you're going to buy me an egg, you know what it is?
Milky Way.
Milky Bar.
Bar.
It's a big difference between a Milky Bar
and
Milky Way.
But I knew what I meant.
You did know. Yeah, and I knew what you meant too. I just like the 99p Milky Bar egg. That's the only thing I want.
Okay, well, you're such a cheap date. It's great.
I know. I don't want anything from Hotel Chocolate. No. I don't want anything from Thornton's.
No. I don't want an egg. I'm even cheaper.
Yeah. How about a boiled egg?
Yes.
Yeah? So they do some eggs and toss
over. Yes!
So roll an egg. You never rolled two Easter eggs.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? Do you not?
No.
People out there will know what I'm talking about. On Easter Sunday, you rolled your egg until it broke, and that's when you got to eat it. And rolling the egg on Easter Sunday was to signify Jesus rolling the great big stone away from the tomb as he resurrected. I don't know. That's what I was told. I said to my mum, why am I rolling my eggs down this hill? And she said...
We need to ask Helen.
Who? My mum?
Yes.
Oh, she'll have made that up, but... It seemed plausible to me, so I've been telling people that for years. Is it a nationwide thing
that people roll their eggs? I don't think
it is. I thought it was.
It's a bit like when my granny told me that toes... She called my toes toadines for my entire life.
Yeah.
So I just called my toes toadines, thinking that the world called their toes toadines as a nickname. Mm. No one bloody calls their toes toadines. I look like a lunatic every time I say it.
Yeah, well, apparently
it's an Irish thing. And then I went over to Ireland and I started calling my toes toadines and they're all like, what are you talking about?
I've taught my kids to roll their eggs. When they get eggs for Easter, you roll them until they break.
Well, you've told two kids to do that, and they may go off and have kids.
And they'll tell
their
kids.
And then they'll roll it, and then it'll be spread. And then in 2,000 years' time, everybody, your kids will be loaded because they'll have bitcoins from their dad.
Yeah,
Everybody in the whole of this country will be rolling eggs and go, yes, this is an old thing from back in the day.
Isn't it how these things... there's a story. Shall I finish on a story? Little story?
Yes.
So it's this... this family go round to their mother's house every day for a Sunday roast, and the mother makes this perfect roast beef joint every Sunday. Mm. But before she puts the meat in the tin, she gets the joint of beef and she cuts off like a centimetre off one end of the beef and a centimetre off the other end of the beef, and she picks it up, puts it in the tin and goes to roast it for a couple of hours or whatever. And the dad's been watching this and he's been doing the same thing for years, thinking... Psh. And he says to her one day, and he said, look, I've watched you cook this roast dinner throughout my entire childhood and now as an adult. And... I've never understood how you get it so good, but I've noticed you cut half an inch off each end of the beef, you know, before you cook it. And she says, yeah, it doesn't fit in the tin otherwise. And he just thought that was a trick to making it cook it really well. So he'd been doing the same thing. But it's the same thing with rolling your eggs, right? It's like, I think we just... But what I used to say, why do we do it? My mum said it was Jesus rolling the stone.
And also, I really like the idea of it in some way, because she's making you wait for that egg, it tastes better.
Yeah, exactly. So we get it on Friday or whatever, but we can't eat it till Sunday.
You've rolled it a long way.
Yeah, well, we used to go to Scotland to the Law Hill in Dundee and roll it down the volcano.
What?
Yeah, there's a big hill in Dundee called the Law, which I think is... Celtic for hill, but we used to call it the Law Hill, but that would mean it's called the Hill. Anyway, that's apparently it's an old volcano. But the next time you go to Dundee, I'll really take you up there. If you go across the Tay Bridge, you'll see that Dundee is built on top of this kind of hill, this huge hill.
Yeah.
And the top of the hill was the cap of a volcano.
Wow.
Now, this could well be a story that I've been told, and it's a perpetual lie. But my dad said, no, like thousands of years ago, it would have been an erupting volcano. And that's why it's that shaped.
Yeah.
So you go up the Law Hill and you roll your Easter egg down it until it breaks.
How far is it?
Oh, it's huge. It's a great big hill.
What, you'd spend like...
It would break after 50 yards or something like that.
Amazing. Then you eat it and you walk back down again. Nice. I've got it.
You didn't have to hit all the tenements at the bottom.
I get it.
It was, it was very good. I've got pictures of me as a child rolling my eggs down the Law.
This is another one of those moments where I just think I know you a bit better.
You certainly do. Milky Bar.
I've already...
Great. Thanks for listening, everybody. Okay. This has been nice. I've enjoyed this one.
Yeah, it's good.
I should drink this more often.
Yeah, drink more.
Have a fantastic Easter, everybody.
Yes.
And I hope
we really love you. And
we
love hearing from you. And we love your tips. Mm-hmm. And you are also making our lives better as well as us making your lives better. So thank you.
Oh, one of the things we were meant to do on this episode is Entail had asked us to give a shout out. They've got a new feature on the Entail app,
which is absolutely amazing. So it's called Collections. Entail, who basically we always say the best way to listen to our podcast is with Entail, because... it means that you can access everything that we talk about immediately. But now on Entail, they've set up a section called Collections. and it's designed to help you find new podcasts and keep up with your favourite podcast moments. So if you just click Explore Collections at the top of the homepage on Entail, you can find something new. And you could perhaps follow the one called Positive Vibes for a bunch of podcasts that will sort of put a spring in your step, or if you want celebrity interviews, or like you can click on anything that you particularly want to watch, or you can follow our own collection. So we've got on our collection, we've got links to all the TV shows, all the movies we've recommended, tips to everything, clicks to everything. So if you're thinking, God, what was that thing
they talked about
a few weeks ago that they talked about and I really want to watch it, you can just go on Collections on the Entail app. So,
and not only that, you can share these collections as
Totally.
Can't you? You can tag them and share them via WhatsApp or email or text or anything like that.
Totally. And, then, and also you can just hit Explore Collection on the homepage and find the one that says Making the Cut, What to Watch, and make sure you follow our collection, and then you'll be notified every time we add to it as well. So it'll send you a notification going, even if you miss the podcast, you'll still find out what we're recommending. Although we don't recommend that. We want you to listen to it.
But we do get a lot of people that say, is there anywhere where I can see just all the films you've recommended?
Yes.
And now you can. So Entail app, go in there and explore the collections. But
I just want to say that Janine, who is cataloguing everything we've ever talked about, don't worry.
We still need all that. We're going to set up the website. Great. Entail. Go and download that. That's the place to listen
Amazing.
To see you very soon.
See you soon.
Happy Easter.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.